Hey everybody, it's Dan and welcome to our Friday edition of the Orange and Brown Talk podcast. Mary Kay Cabot, Scott Patsko, and I look back on the off-season program and offer up some things that we took away from what we got to see and hear throughout OTAs and then also during this week's mandatory minicamp. The off-season program wrapped up on Thursday with a practice at First Energy Stadium, so everybody is going their separate ways. They'll be back for training camp at the end of July. Now, look, if you're not a Football Insider subscriber, now is the time to get on board because we don't stop. You know, it might be kind of a downtime for the players and even some of the coaches, but we don't stop covering the Cleveland Browns, and Football Insider is your way to get more coverage. Access to exclusive stories on cleveland.com/browns, a newsletter delivered to your inbox every day, and, of course, you can become one of our text subscribers. So it's cleveland.com/browns, the blue banner at the top of the page, to get more info and get signed up. All right, here we go. Our Friday edition of the Orange and Brown Talk podcast. Here we go on our Friday edition of the Orange and Brown Talk podcast. I said today, standing on the sideline watching practice, it felt like the last day of school. And it sort of felt like that afterwards, too, when players were waiting to do their availabilities. They wanted to get to those podiums and get out of there as quickly as possible today. I think they had something else going on after practice, but these guys were ready to go their separate ways after a long off-season program. So let's kind of recap what we saw, some things that stood out. Good attendance throughout. We saw a good amount in the, what was it, six practices that we ended up watching. So Mary Kay, give us one thing here to start us off that stood out to you during this off-season program.
Just more of an explosive passing game. I mean, just really cranking up the passing game, using the, the off-season program as a passing camp and kind of bringing that passing game into the 2022 season and getting it up to speed. And everybody watched all of those high flying games last year, all of those explosive games. The Browns, that's why they went out and got Deshaun Watson. It's why they went out and got Amari Cooper. They know they've got to be able to score points in a hurry. They have a defense that held teams to 16 points or fewer on many, many occasions last season, and an offense that could not keep pace. And really, that's the number one overarching thing to me this whole offseason was just getting that passing game up and running.
I think that was really driven home to this week and being able to see multiple practices within 1 week. Prior to that, we got one OTA, per week, and it was just kind of stretched out. And even though they said, yeah, it's a passing camp, we did see some running plays, but I thought between Tuesday and I didn't go down to Canton for that half hour, basically walk through, but between that and what we saw at First Energy Stadium, it was really pounding that passing game and Deshaun Watson getting a ton of reps. And it was clear that they really wanted to be in a good place when they did break for the summer, going into training camp.
And I thought it was interesting. I think it was the first day of minicamp that Kevin almost said, and I wonder if this is what these programs are going to look like long term. He almost said, you can't really do a lot in the run game because you can't have contact. You can't put guys in pads. You're not having lines bashing into each other. And so almost out of necessity, it had to be a passing camp. And so that combined with the fact that they had to sort of modernize and update their passing game this offseason created a little bit of a perfect storm. Scott, you said something though that I think we need to circle back to, and that is the fact that Mary Kay, Deshaun Watson took a lot of reps, especially when we were out there. And Scott mentioned, he was taking first team reps. He would go with the second team. Then we see Jacoby Brissett. Josh Dobbs didn't take a ton of team reps, and that's pretty normal for what we've seen from Kevin Stefanski. He doesn't really give the quarterbacks lower down a ton of reps and teamwork, but I did find it interesting that Deshaun Watson took so many reps with the first and second team when we were out there and saw team drills.
Well, they have to bank reps with him right now because they just don't know how long he's going to be out yet. There was another report as we're taping this today on Thursday. There was a report by Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk where the NFLPA is expecting an unprecedented punishment for Deshaun Watson. So that starts to sound more like that year that we've been hearing about gaining steam a little bit. And again, I don't know if it's just one of those things that people keep repeating and nobody really knows if it's actually true or not. If he is going to be out for a long period of time, then, let's say that they give him a year and then it gets knocked back to 8 or something like that. They want to bank as many reps as they can, get as much work with him as they can in now. And it'll be a little bit tricky to try to divide that up between Jacoby and Deshaun. But I think they wanted to build that foundation to have him have his timing down in the event that he's done on, September, whatever, before the season starts, and then nobody sees him for the next 8 weeks. So I think that has something to do with it.
Yeah, it's weird to, it's like, what is the best best way to go about this? Do you really work Jacoby Brissett with the thinking that he's probably going to play a significant amount, or at least a lot more than you would expect a backup to normally play? Or do you just, like you said, bank all these reps with Deshaun Watson, thinking he's going to be out for a long time so that there's not as much catch up? I mean, it seems like that's it. And they figure that, well, we got training camp and you can get Jacoby Brissett a significant amount of reps there. And at that point, you figure you're going to know exactly what your situation is. But I guess there's multiple ways to go about it. I don't remember it being this lopsided though at all when Kevin Stefanski first showed up in that dynamic, with Baker Mayfield necessarily. I don't know. You're also adding in obviously a new quarterback and a new, tweaks to offense within all of this. So I guess at the end, maybe this is the best way to go. It's just, yeah, I don't know. I guess they're really thinking they're going to know by the time training camp starts, and they figure that is enough time to make sure Jacoby Brissett is in a good place by week one.
That's kind of the point I was going to make, was like, Jacoby's probably going to get a bunch of reps in training camp, because by that time the Browns are going to, the suspension, God, I hope at least the suspension will be known by then. Hopefully we're not still sitting here on pins and needles. I mean, this is sort of like what everyone's doing though, Mary Kay. It's like the Browns have to prepare for life without Deshaun Watson, but they don't necessarily know how long. I mean, for us, when we talk about this team, we talk about it, but we almost talk about it in two separate ways, right? Like life with Deshaun and life without Deshaun. It's almost two separate teams that we're talking about.
It is really hard. I mean, it is hard to try to write about this football team, to talk about this football team, when everything has an asterisk after it, right? I mean, you cannot reasonably talk about, where does Deshaun stack up in, in the AFC North or in the AFC? Where do the Browns stack up? How many games are they going to win? What kind of predictions? It's prediction time. I mean, usually you get done with, the off season and you're starting to think, okay, this team's going to go what and what, and we just don't know. I mean, we have no idea. The players are leaving here not having any idea. I mean, Jadeveon Clowney talked today after the practice at First Energy Stadium. And he talked all about how he came here this year for two major reasons, because he was going to follow Deshaun Watson wherever he went, and because he's chasing a Super Bowl. Well, those two things are hand in hand. And if he doesn't play the whole entire season, then that goes up in smoke. So it's just, it's tough on everybody right now.
Yeah, especially those of us who are trying to come up with summertime series. We usually do a series on questions surrounding the Browns every summer. We've called it 20 questions, 21 questions. There are like 20 or 21 questions just surrounding Deshaun Watson, right? And even Baker Mayfield situation. And those are probably going to happen before we start writing these. So we kind of, I thought we'd leave those out. There's just, there's too many questions this season.
Yeah. All right, Scott, what did you, what stood out to you from the offseason program?
I think the middle of the defense, after you get past the defensive line, the guys in the middle of the field, I think, really stood out. And again, because it was a passing camp, you saw a lot of 7-on-7. So you saw, the defensive backs really shine and the safeties, and you saw guys who are going to be out there and passing down. So, JOK, Jacob Phillips, that pairing at linebacker is something that I think they want to have on the field when they know the other team's going to pass. Behind them, Delpit and JJ3. Those four guys, I think at least three of them have had picks, or at least not all of them have at least knocked passes away that when we've been out there to see things. And I think that's a good sign for this defense that you have fast players who are flying around the field and making it difficult. And I know you got a quarterback who's trying to, you know, learn an offense here, but it is a good sign that speed seems to be obvious out there. And the guys who you would assume are kind of the core in the middle of this field have played really well. So, you know, the passing defense ended the season on a good note, and it seems they're starting, they're heading into training camp in a good place.
You know, for all the questions surrounding the offense and Deshaun Watson and everything happening on that side of the ball, I'm excited to see this defense, and it feels real because we saw it in action last year. You know, we've gone through training camps where it's like, oh, this defense might be pretty good, but there was really nothing to back that up other than the fact that they were going against like Deshaun Kizer or RG3 or something. That this is a defense that we've seen perform on Sundays, and we saw play really well towards the end of the year last year. And then Mary Kemp's sort of starting to let myself get talked into this defense being top five, maybe. Like, they could be that good.
Yeah, you know what? I actually think they can be. And the reason why I think that is because we saw flashes of a lot of really good things last year, and they did it with a lot of really young guys who I think are going to be much better this year. And they did it with, you know, some guys, you know, inside at defensive tackle that aren't even here anymore. So I actually kind of think, even though the defensive tackles this year are, you know, still a bunch of sort of no name kind of guys, I kind of think they're going to be better than they were last year. And then when you look at JOK, with everything that he went through last year, I think we can reasonably expect him to be better. I think we can reasonably expect Greg Newsome to be better. I think we can expect Grant Delpit to be better. I think we can expect John Johnson III to be better because they'll know what to do with him. The only little glitch in the program right now actually happened in the final practice of minicamp. And that was midway through practice. We watched Denzel Ward. He did something to his lower left leg. He sat on the bench. Our photographer, Josh Gunter, got great photos of him sitting there with his shoe off and the trainer kind of tending to his lower left leg. Then he walked slowly into the locker room. And we actually have video of that. And like we said on our video, it was good news that he walked in by himself. He didn't get carted in. He didn't hobble off. But still, it's not something that you want to see. So hopefully for everyone involved, there's nothing to that, that he didn't, you know, pull a muscle that'll keep him out of the early part of camp or something like that. But if he's healthy, and I think that's that he's a big part of this. If he's healthy, that secondary looks so good. The linebackers look better. The defensive front looks better. And I do think they have a good chance of being a top five defense.
Yeah, the good thing is they have a lot of depth there now, and they have a lot of talent. And obviously losing Denzel for any period of time would be huge. But you have guys who have experience and who are getting significant reps because, you know, he went out. You know, Martin Emerson got a lot of first team reps. And even with Greedy Williams, he hasn't participated in everything when we watch practice. AJ Green been in and out when I've been paying attention to that. So Martin Emerson is kind of working his way up and kind of getting some serious reps, which is great. But, you know, the corners have never really, like, over the past X number of years of this defense, the corners have not been the problem. It's been covering tight ends. It's been explosive plays down the middle of the field. We saw that a lot last year, with just miscommunication and issues. And I know their coverage of tight ends got a lot better last year with JOK showing up, with Anthony Walker performing well. You just have that, if you have the middle of that field locked down, it just helps you so much, and it forces things to the outside where you have guys like Denzel Ward and Greg Newsome and guys who are going to make big plays for you there too.
And I think we'll see, you know, when you mentioned Martin Emerson, I think we might see him if he develops quickly enough in camp, we might see him get a shot inside to maybe go against some of those tight ends with that length and that ability I mean, he kind of looks like a safety in some ways. And I think that they're willing to kind of experiment with this idea of let's take these slot corners and see if we can stick them on, you know, they're not going to face Travis Kelce in the regular season, but let's see if we can stick them on one of these really good tight ends and put them on Mark Andrews and see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and all of those things, you know, we're seeing all of that and we're seeing these guys, you know, really just react and play faster than they did last year. Some of these young guys, which I think is great. And the way that Joe Woods has responded to this is, and he has told us this, he's heaping way more on their plate this year. So I think you are going to see more of an exotic defense. You'll see more blitzing. You'll see guys doing more things. You'll see JOK used in a variety of different ways. Again, as we've talked about before, you'll see some of the safeties playing in the slot. I just think that, you know, he's probably looking out there and feeling like he's just got a cornucopia of talent that he can do so much with. And, they were pretty darn good last year and they've gotten a lot better.
Delpit's such a big part of this too. Having him in a situation where he's not trying to figure things out. He knows the defense now and we're assuming he's one of the starters. And he's, again, the guy we talked about as that hybrid player before JOK ever showed up. He was that guy the year before that people thought was going to kind of unlock some things for this defense. And now you have both of them, two guys who can move around and do different things. And yeah, I think this defense can be really good.
Okay, we'll take a break here and we'll get to some more things that kind of stood out to us from this offseason program. And back on the Orange and Brown Talk podcast. So I guess for me, this is a familiar kind of refrain, but I do think the fact that so many players felt the need to be a part of this did matter to an extent. I think especially Deshaun Watson being there from day one kind of set a tone, I think, for this team. You really only had Myles Garrett was in and out. Jadeveon Clowney kind of signed and left. David Njoku was holding out for a little while. And Joel Bitonio didn't arrive until mandatory minicamp. But for the most part, you had your full roster there. And, you know, I just thought the tone of the camp was kind of, they have high expectations, but we also didn't hear a ton of bravado necessarily. Like, it felt like they had to show up and earn it a little bit. And even Jadeveon Clowney today, when he said, you know, the goal, he didn't come back here to win 8 or 9 games again. It's not like he was standing up there saying, all right, we're going to the playoffs. This is going to be easy. We're going to the Super Bowl. It feels like there's a clear vision with this team and understanding what they need to do to get where they want to get to. And I think that starts with the fact that they did have really strong attendance for this.
Yeah, I agree with you 100% on that. And I think it also fostered one of the big overarching themes of this whole entire offseason has been camaraderie. And we keep hearing it over and over and over again. And they really are trying to be that kind of team where they hang out together, they get along. Now, of course, it's a lot easier when those COVID restrictions are dropped. And we asked Anthony Walker about that yesterday. What is different? Well, one of the things that we all know is different is they don't have the Baker Mayfield, Odell Beckham Jr. rift split and the aftermath of all of that. But in addition to that, they don't have all of the COVID restrictions and all these different lockers and all the testing and all the different things. It sort of feels back to normal life a little bit. And it'll be even more normal when all of a sudden, you know, the season starts and there's, you know, open locker room and we're in there talking to people. And so it just feels, it feels normal. And then, even today when Jadeveon Clowney was talking, a lot of guys really look up to him, but a couple of guys, you know, popped into his press conference, you know, in sort of in a goofing around kind of a way. And
Amari Cooper asked him for his RSVP to his birthday party.
Yeah. Right, right. So he asked him for that. And Dearness Johnson asked him what his goals are. So, you know, so there's kind of like a a feeling of, you know, upbeat, you know, it's just, it's fun. They're having more fun. There was the basketball hoop. They went to the Bahamas. They went to South Beach. A lot of them are going to Amari Cooper's birthday party in Miami tomorrow night. Like a large segment of the, like a bunch of them are going down to Miami to actually go to his birthday party. Which I asked him about that today. I said, how does that make you feel? These guys are your new teammates. He was like, it means a lot. I'm really happy that they're coming. So I think that, you know, that goes right back to what you said. The good attendance has led to sort of the, you know, these sort of good vibes and good feelings with each other.
Plenty of field trips too. And you mentioned like, you know, the offense doing stuff. And like, are they setting a precedent? Do they have to do this every year? Is Miles going to have to, and Deshaun going to have to fly people around the country and around the globe to keep up this great camaraderie? You guys have been, obviously Mary Kay has been doing this longer than we have. I can't remember like other things like this. Usually it's just, you know, the quarterback getting together with some receivers somewhere and doing that during the offseason. But this was just a whole different level. And then you got the field trip down to the Hall of Fame and everything that was involved in that. So it seems like it's a good meeting between the coaching staff and the front office, kind of making some things happen to make sure that players are, you know, not just having fun, but just the whole camaraderie thing. And then the players themselves. So it's a good start. And I think I'm interested to see like where this, what happens next year. You know, is this, that's a lot of money. I mean, these guys make a lot of money, but still that's, you know, I'm curious to see if this happens again.
There's been a lot of extensions handed out though. So like if you got Deshaun and like Joel and Wyatt and Nick Chubb, if they all sort of decide next year, like, okay, let's all go in together on this, at least like help me out a little bit, guys.
Yeah.
I think maybe you can make it work. I do think, speaking of that locker room and the COVID restrictions, one of the things that I thought was interesting, and we haven't gotten to see like Kevin Stefanski's locker room yet. We haven't gotten to see what it looks like and where the nameplates are and where he puts guys. And I thought it was interesting that David Bell's locker is next to Deshaun Watson's. Again, I don't know how that's set up, but you know, in the past, the quarterbacks have sort of been in their corner. They usually get a little more space because, you know, they're usually, if they're being interviewed, they need that space. They're the quarterbacks, right? But I did think it was interesting that, okay, they decided to put Deshaun Watson next to David Bell, and coaches do this stuff on purpose. And that's obviously to build that connection and allow David Bell to sit there and kind of learn, you know, from Deshaun, hey, let's do this. We need to do this differently. I need you to be here on this play. It's little things like that, that you're also kind of gaining through this offseason program. It's not so much the practices. I mean, those are what they are, but it's that stuff in the locker room where you're actually doing football things, where you're in meetings, where you're getting coached, and you have guys like Deshaun and David Bell connecting off the field and making sure that they're on the same page when they do get out there to practice.
Yeah. I thought that was really significant too. And David talked a lot about it yesterday, and he talked about how Deshaun has been coaching him up. And I think they, you know, very pointedly put David there so that Deshaun would take him under his wing. And I think he has done that. And I think they really want David to come up the learning curve very quickly and to be a very, very significant part of this offense. I think he's going to be out there a fair amount in two wides and a lot, of course, in three. They have high expectations and high hopes for him. And so far it seems to be working just in terms of what we've been able to see on the field. And he did reveal that he has only dropped one pass the entire time of all the OTA practices and the mini camp. So, and it was a day that we weren't there. So he did not have to admit that. He didn't have to tell us about that, but I thought that was pretty cool. And I think that there's a method to Kevin's madness there.
I wonder who has the Joe Thomas Memorial, but honorary end of the row locker, because the way it used to be set up, Joe Thomas kind of at the end of this line that I think they kind of like put leaders of the team, obviously a lot of offensive linemen, but you know, Doug Deacon would always be hanging out there. And is Amari Cooper's locker anywhere Nick Chubb's to Nick Chubb's, because that would be like the quietest area of the locker room.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think they gave that locker to Greg Robinson for a stretch, but then
they did.
But then but then they upgraded. If I remember right, like J.C. Treader might have been there eventually, like after Greg Robinson was gone. So they kind of got that squared away and put one of the leaders there in that spot.
Yeah. It's a good spot. It's a good spot for Betonio this year.
We should use one of these pods in July to design our own locker room.
Yes, that would be funny. That would be good. So what did you guys think about Joel Betonio not showing up for any of the offseason program or any of the OTAs and just coming for the mandatory minicamp?
So I didn't mind it. These guys have earned the right to do that if they want to. And, Joel is obviously close with JC. And I'm sure that he, I don't know how much of a, he seemed to indicate yesterday that wasn't a big part of it. He had family in town, or he was with his family. I don't know if he was out in California or whatever, but there was family around. He's got two young kids. I could understand making the case that, hey, you should be there. You're one of the leaders. You're one of the most important players, but I don't have a problem with him skipping the program. And look, it seems like he showed up and was in shape and ready to go for mandatory minicamp.
Yeah. And, it's Joel Betonio, and it would be hard to fault Joel Betonio for anything at all, ever. I mean, he is the team, right? I mean, he's the team spokesman. He's such a great player. He never misses a game. I mean, he's just a great guy. He's a great teammate. And I think he was trying to sort of make the point. I think that J.C. Treader probably did have a significant impact on him in trying to say, look, we do need some time off. We do need our break. We do need to take care of our bodies. It is voluntary. Let it be voluntary. And, don't hound people that aren't there. That's not what this is about. If you want to show up, fine. If you don't, so be it. So I think there was a little bit of a statement there, and I'm fine with that statement.
I mean, he's watched Joe Thomas and J.C. Treader both get to that point in their careers where they basically didn't practice very much. And maybe he's trying to prolong, getting to that point. I don't remember him missing a ton of things when he's not injured. He might get the veteran days, right? But those guys, most days, it's like they were there, but they weren't necessarily practicing. And I think Betonio got all the injury stuff out of the way early in his career. And he's been on a good roll here of late. And I'm sure he'd like to keep it that way.
Yeah. And, he said he was watching the practice film on the iPad or whatever they give him, the surfaces. So he was watching the practice film and keeping up with that. I do think, like, to go back, this is sort of in contrast with what I said about guys showing up. I understand why the NFLPA is making, they don't want to do away with it, but they want to reiterate this idea, like, it is voluntary. And we've all had kids go through sports, right? I'm sure we've had these discussions with them, like, yeah, I know this practice is voluntary, but maybe you should go. Like, it'll make you look good. And that's kind of what the NFLPA doesn't want their players to necessarily have to feel, is like, I know it's voluntary, but what's going to happen if I don't show up?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a fine line to walk, because the coaches really want you there, no matter what they say. They really want you there. And I think Kevin Stefanski made it very clear this year that he really wanted his guys there. He wants the team building. He wants the mentorship to start happening. Now, Joel did take advantage of the Bahamas trip, so good for him.
Oh, yeah, of course. That's a pro move right there.
Yeah.
Can I interrupt, though, Mary Kane?
Yeah,
like,
sure.
And does it, even though Kevin Sight kind of said that he wanted guys there,
yeah,
didn't it feel like it was still more player driven?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think so. I mean, player driven with, just a sort of a vibe that it would be really cool if you guys show up.
Yeah.
Type of thing. And I think it's okay to do that. I think it's okay for a coach to do that, to express how important it is, or how important he feels it is for them to show up. I've heard Andy Reid do it. I've heard other coaches do it. So I don't have any problem with that either. But I understand where Joel is coming from. And I actually think he was perhaps making a little bit of a statement about how guys need to take care of themselves, and how, and I think that, as you guys mentioned, that being so close to J.C. Treader, I think that had an impact on his decision.
Yeah, and you know, like we said, he wasn't the only one. Miles didn't show up for a lot. You know, Jadeveon, like we said, signed his contract and got out of there. So there were some big names that just sort of decided not to be there. And, you know, with Miles, he's kind of a guy that he has his own regiment. And, you know, Joel doesn't post a lot on Instagram or social media. So I don't know, maybe he's got a million workout videos on his phone that we've never seen, but I'm sure he stays in pretty good shape. And that's really kind of what it's all about. But
I mean, it's not like there's mass, you know, skipping of OTAs around the league. It's usually the guys that are like a Petonio, who are older, who are entrenched, who financially secure, you know, or like the Njoku situation. Maybe you want a new deal, or the Duke Johnson situation a handful of years ago where he, you know, said he wanted out. So it's those kind of guys. Sometimes it's a quarterback, but you know, the Browns don't want to be in that position, obviously. I think the Browns, at least over the past handful of years, it's been the guys that you kind of assume they would be in and out, guys who have dealt with injuries, or guys who just, you know, are at that point in their career where they know they're on the team, they're getting paid well, and they know how to work their body, and they'll be here when they need to be.
One thing it'll be interesting to watch is, and again, I don't know if the new Fields will have anything to do with it or not, but let's see what happens during training camp in terms of fewer injuries. I mean, it was ridiculous last year with all the muscle pulls, and maybe it's not just the Fields, but maybe it's a comprehensive program to try to cut back on these soft tissue injuries. And I mean, they just cannot go through what they went last year. Every time you turned around, somebody was pulling a hamstring or a groin or something. I mean,
they probably had to go buy new bikes just to make sure everybody had one for practice at one point. It was bad.
Right. I mean, it had to be amongst the worst in the league in terms of the soft tissue injuries. It just seemed like all of the top players were struggling in that regard. So I'm very interested to see how that shakes out this camp.
The other thing, I mean, this is a podcast into itself, so you know, we don't have to go too far down this road. But the other thing, and one of the things that would make a lost season seem so frustrating, is when we talk about guys skipping OTAs and minicamp, is I think one of the themes of this offseason was sort of what David Njoku was doing. Like, I'm not going to show up till I get a new deal. I do think in the next 2 to 3 years, we are going to see some guys who maybe have gotten new deals as these numbers go up and up. I mean, I actually thought this when Aaron Donald got paid. Like, there might come a point 3 years down the road where Myles Garrett is like, I'm not showing up to minicamp because I want a new contract. Or, Mari Cooper could do it next year. You know, I think we'll see this as these numbers and these markets start to change at some of these positions. And that's something Andrew's going to have to deal with kind of in a different way when it comes to the offseason program. So I think the reason I bring that up is it's sort of hammers home the point that, generally speaking, outside of the Deshaun Watson situation, I don't want anybody to hear me say this and be like, well, what about Deshaun? Yes, the Deshaun Watson situation is what it is. But financially and contract wise and all of that, this team is fairly settled right now. And I think that showed in everybody showing up, nobody complaining, nobody holding out outside of Njoku until he got done. Everything was just sort of, all right, we're set, let's go.
I mean, I wonder how much last season's finished, though, like the record and just things didn't work out and the disappointment of that. And a lot of guys not playing at the same level they had the year before maybe had something to do with it. One would think.
Yeah. And I think the excitement on the part of the players about Deshaun Watson being here, I think guys wanted to come. I think guys wanted to be here. I think guys wanted to get their timing down with him. I think he set the tone as the leader of not just the offense, but of the football team. And I was listening to Jeff Legwald of ESPN in Denver, ESPN.com in Denver, talking about the impact that Russell Wilson has had and what it's like to have a quarterback that you know, that kind of has that the power and the authority to really set that leadership tone, and people will follow him and lead him. And I think that's happening with Deshaun.
Okay. Anything else you guys want to bring up before we call it an off-season program here? on the podcast. I think our off-season program went pretty well. I think we got everything done that we needed to get done.
We did confirm that the Dawson flag is in fact back at First Energy Stadium. It had been missing for a while, so if you were concerned about that, we did see it today. It's waving.
Oh yeah, we also saw a nice 50-yard field goal at the stadium today by Cade York that would have, and he signed today, by the way.
Yeah.
That would have been good for 60 yards, so I think that's encouraging.
The Dawson flag, when we were at rookie minicamp, it had Ashley and me drawing pictures of the stadium to try and figure out which side was south and north and where the flag would be. And somewhere in one of my notebooks, I have a picture of the stadium and a lake and a sailboat. Neither of us were very good at direction. So hopefully Ashley doesn't get lost in Nashville this weekend, and she'll be back on the podcast next week, and we won't have to send out like a search party to go find her.
Yeah, whenever we have these young people like Ellis and Ashley, they're in a lot of weddings. I mean, they're on the wedding circuit. So this is, I don't know if Ashley, where she is in the 27 Dresses movie that she's in, but yeah, so we'll have to hear some tales from Nashville when she gets back.
Yes, we'll just hand the podcast off to her her first day back. Okay, that'll do it for this edition of the Orange and Brown Talk podcast. Make sure you're a Football Insider subscriber, cleveland.com/browns, the blue banner at the top of the page. We were texting throughout the day all sorts of stuff, including, hey, we texted you the training camp schedule as soon as it came out. You could have taken a screenshot of it, put it on your phone right there, just through a text. Didn't have to look for it or anything. So cleveland.com/browns, the blue banner at the top of the page. And of course, make sure you're subscribed to our podcast wherever you listen. Subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. For Scott and Mary Kay, I'm Dan. Thanks for listening, everybody.